Chapter 6. Never mind that my dress, having been worn for 4 days, was creased and misshapen, my white gloves a sodden gray. Never mind that my fine hair must have been hanging like a horse's tail, in almost complete disarray. With all eyes upon us, as we crossed the ship's waist to the bowsprit and figurehead, I felt like a princess being led to her throne. Not even the same lowering mist I'd observed when I first came from my cabin could dampen my soaring spirits. Captain Jaggery was a brilliant sun, and I, a Juno moon, basked in reflected glory. "Captain Jaggery, sir," I said, "this ship seems to be moving very slowly."
"You observed correctly," he replied, ever the perfect gentleman. "But if you look up there," he pointed beyond the mainmast, "you'll notice some movement. The cloud cover should be breaking soon, and then we'll gain. There, you see?" he exclaimed. "The sun is struggling to shine through." As if by command, a thin yellow disk began to appear where he pointed, though it soon faded again behind clotted clouds. From the forecastle deck, we crossed to the quarter-deck, and then to the helm. Foley, a lean, bearded man, was at the wheel. Mr. Keach, as unsmiling as ever, stood by his side. The wheel itself was massive, with handspikes for easier gripping. When the captain and I approached, the two men stole fleeting glances in our direction, but said nothing. Captain Jaggery released my arm and gazed up at the sails. At length he said, "Mr. Keach?" The second mate turned to him.
"Yes, sir?"
"I believe," the captain said, "we shall soon have a blow." Mr. Keach seemed surprised.
"Do you think so, sir?"
"I hardly would have said so otherwise, now would I, Mr. Keach?" The man darted a glance at me, as if I held the answer. All he said, however, was,
"I suppose not, sir."
"Thank you, Mr. Keach. Now, I want to take advantage of it. Tighten all braces, and be ready with the jigger-gaff."
"Aye, aye, sir."
"And bring the studding sails to hand. We may want them to make up for lost time."
"Aye, aye, sir."
After another glance at me, Mr. Keach marched quickly across the quarter-deck, and at the rail bellowed,
"All hands! All hands!"
Within moments, the entire crew assembled on deck.
"Top gallant and royal yardmen in the tops," he cried.
The next moment, the crew scrambled into the shrouds and standing rigging, high amidst the masts and spars. Even as they ascended, Mr. Keach began to sing out a litany of commands.
"Man topgallant mast ropes, all taut, sway and unfid."
That had men hauling on running lines and tackle until the desired sails were shifted and set. It was a grand show, but if the ship moved any faster for it, I didn't sense a change. The captain now turned to Foley.
"One point south," he said.
"One point south,"
Foley echoed, and shifted the wheel counterclockwise with both hands.
"Steady on,"
the captain said.
"Steady on,"
Foley repeated. Now it was Mr. Hollybrass who approached the helm. The moment he did so, Captain Jaggery hailed him.
"Mr. Hollybrass."
"Sir,"